pause for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I ask you to have your way in this service and have your way. You're going to have your way for every minute of this day. And I ask you to help us to get in line with that. And we just thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And we love you. Amen. Good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Good? Good. We have officially entered the fall season. It is pumpkin spice season in the world. Everywhere you go, you can buy something that's pumpkin spiced. I don't want any of it, but it's all out there for you if you want it. So we're getting cooler mornings and cooler evenings, and that's nice. And it's my second favorite season of the seasons. I love the summer, but I'm starting to like fall more and more as I go along. You can keep winter. I don't need that. If you know me, you know I'm going to be honest with you. And I hope that's okay. But, you know, things have been a little challenging in our family lately. I know everyone here has things going on in their families, in their lives. You know what I mean? I understand that. I can only talk about myself. And things have been a little challenging. I don't think he'd take care that I would tell you this, but Holden's been having a real bad time with his stomach. It's been going on for quite a while, and he's had every test known to man for the most part, and they still haven't figured out anything that's going on with him yet. So he's got a couple more tests coming up, and we hope that they can zero in on what's giving him his problems. Because when you feel sick every time you eat, it's hard to make it through your days. It's hard to have a good attitude. It's hard to be happy. It's hard to be positive. And that's just for any of us to be like that. You know what I mean? And then, you know, all of you here, everyone here has been here before, so you all know Clyde. And, you know who Clyde is. Heard from afar. And, you know, I was just standing up here before, and I was thinking, you know, when I was born, Dad, Mom and Dad were coming to the church. And, you know, so I've been around him for 55 years, but I've actually probably known him for 45 plus years. You know, he was my Sunday school teacher when I was a little kid. And you know, you guys know how Clyde is and his personality and his outlook on things, most things. You know, you've been around him. And Clyde's really dealing with a lot right now. And, you know, the stuff that's going on with Clyde, he can't control what's going on with him. It's happening to him. It's not happening because of him or on his own account. It's just happening. And, you know, he can only control the things that he can, and it's just hard to see, you know. So he's struggling. But we know that God's got him in the palm of his hand. You know, and, you know, as much as I know he's in pain and I know he's, you know, struggling with certain things, you know, I also know how much it's affecting Deb. Because of what he's going through. And that's just like any of us that have a spouse or a loved one that's going through something terrible, you know. It's hard to see someone that you love in pain. It's hard physically to try to help take care of someone. It's hard emotionally as you try to manage the ups and downs. And when you're dealing with something like this, there's so many ups and downs daily. You know, it's like, could I just have 2 days of ups? That would be great, you know. But no, it never hardly seems like that happens. So, you know, not only is Deb watching, you know, the man she loves, her husband, fight through these things that he's having to go through, she's also having to deal with things at home by herself. And she's, you know, it's just all the different parts of it, you know. And it's I know it's hard, and the uncertainty of what's to come and all those kind of things come into your mind. And I know Joe is exhausted. And, you know, Deb is doing the most of the taking care of Clyde, but Joey's doing what she can. And I know Niece is helping her a lot, too. And Susie's been up there quite a bit. And it's like, you know, I know Joe doesn't sleep well here lately. She's worried about Holden. She's worried about her dad. So, you know, it's just been a tough time at our house, kind of. So I would ask all of you, and I know you'd do this, but I would just ask you to be even more earnest about it. You know, when Clyde comes to your mind, when Deb comes to your mind, when Joey comes to your mind, if Holden comes to your mind, lift them up because they need it. And they would appreciate it greatly. Okay? So I was kind of waiting to see what God wanted me to talk about this morning. And I haven't, you know, like I said, I'll be honest with you, I haven't felt terribly inspired here lately. I've been kind of tired myself. And, you know, so I'm waiting on God, and I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to talk about? Or what do you want to talk to me about? That's generally what it is, you know. And then I can just pass it on. And if it doesn't help you, sorry, it helped me already. But so I was thinking as I was waiting, I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And he brought something to my mind that I said to you the last time I talked to you. And I talked to you for a minute about, you know, thinking about moments in your life that you would like to linger in for a little while longer, if you remember that. And I told you, you know, special moments, life-changing moments, simple, joyful moments, sometimes challenging moments that directly led to some growth in your life, you know. And in Psalm 105:5, it says, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. And when I read that, I thought, okay, there they are, the happy and the challenging. You know, because when he renders a judgment, it's a challenge a lot of times, you know. And I told you that it can be good to remember those kind of moments. And, you know, I stand by that. I'm not backing up from that. I believe that's true. But having said that, as I was thinking about that, I realize that the older that I get, the bigger the rearview mirror in my life tries to get. Now, when I was a little kid, my great uncle Wiley Spurlock, who a lot of you know, if I remember right, when I was a little kid, he drove like a 1975 Impala, something like that. It was a big four-door Chevrolet. And he had this huge rearview mirror on it, over top of his real one. He had this big square one. And as a kid, I thought it was kind of funny looking. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, I understand why he had it, at his, you know, he wasn't that old then, but, you know, he wanted to see better and see more things that were behind him. That's why he had it on there. Now, the fact is that I realize in myself that I have to resist the urge to look backwards too much. You know, I'm a person who likes old stuff, old movies, old music, old cars. So it's kind of in my nature to like old stuff. But my focus can't be back there all the time. So looking back on a moment you'd like to linger in, that's one thing. But looking back constantly and getting stuck, because if you look back and you think about things from the past too much, sometimes you can get stuck on something that happened. Something that was very hurtful, something that you failed in, something that was very hard. And if you do that, that can cause you to languish. That was the word God brought to my mind. I don't want you to languish in your memories. And languish means to assume an expression of sentimental melancholy, which are kind of some big words. So I'll put it in simpler my own simpler terms. It's to be sad or depressed over what could have been or what we've went through. And that's really not going to do us any good. We know that Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, we must keep our eyes looking forward through the windshield, not in the rearview mirror. And allow God to keep perfecting us, correcting us, maturing us, and changing us. Because as we look forward and not back, what we see is what's right in front of us. And sometimes we can even get a glimpse of what's coming up next. And that, both of those are really more valuable than what's back there. God's always about what's next, where he's going, where he's taking you, what he's doing next. I heard someone the other day, and they said that when we make plans for our future, we never really know how much God will have changed us by the time we reach the moment we planned for. So you can make plans for the future, but that's based on who you are right now. And by the time you reach that moment, depending on how far in the future it is, God may have turned you into a completely different person. Because I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God keeps changing who we are and he keeps helping us mature and grow. Keep your eyes focused on the now and what's coming so we are able to adapt and to thrive. Now, having said that, I want to tell you for a minute about a lingerable moment in my life, okay? On October the 12th, 1985, the Toronto Blue Jays played the Kansas City Royals in Game 4 of the American League Championship Series. game was in Kansas City. Now, unfortunately, for this 15-year-old boy right here, who was a baseball fanatic, I had to go to a wedding that night. Yuck. I would rather watch baseball. So Jewel Wilson and Jeff Porter got married that night. So I went to the wedding, and I went to the reception, and knowing me, I probably didn't eat much that was at the reception in those days, because I didn't eat very much back in them days, just hamburgers and peanut butter sandwiches. So I found my way out into the hallway where there was a television, and I turned on the ball game on the television. So I was enjoying that wedding reception way more than if I would have been in there where all the dancing and the music was. And I was watching a baseball game. And as I was watching a baseball game, this beautiful little 12-year-old girl came out in the hallway, and she asked me if I would dance with her. The song that was starting to play was Cool in the Gang, Cherish was the song. You may know that song, you may not know that song. I said, no, I don't dance. And thankfully, she didn't get mad and stomp off. I probably couldn't have blamed her if she did. There was other people at that reception who wanted to dance with her. So maybe I should have danced, but I said, no, I don't dance. So instead of getting mad and stomping off, she sat down, and she watched the ball game with me, and we started to talk. And we had talked before at church, but we sat there and talked. And we talked all the rest of that night. And we've been talking for 40 years since. As of today. Today is the anniversary of the day I fell in love. A night full of moments I could linger in. Now, you know, Joe and I used to talk about getting married when we were very young. Shortly after we began dating and talking, we talked about getting married. I think both of us just knew that we were going to. And we are blessed to have stayed together for all these years. And you know, as much as I would love to relive some of the moments of that night, you could call the birth of our love story, maybe, from 40 years ago. You know, my understanding of love that night was not much. What I know about love today is light years beyond what I understood that night. And as wonderful as it is to understand love so much better now than I did, you all here know exactly how that happened. It's happened as a result of living through the ups and the downs. And keeping our eyes focused forward. Because if you focus too much on what somebody did to you yesterday or 5 minutes ago, it's kind of hard to keep moving forward together. In Philippians 4, 6 to 9, it says this. And this is out of the Message Bible. It says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. You know, as I was thinking this morning about being asked to dance, and I was thinking about that song, and I thought, what's the words of that song say? So you want me to sing it to you?
Yeah.
You wish. No way. No way. I'll read it to you. I'll give you the Johnny Cash version and I'll read it. This is what the words of that song that Joe asked me to dance 2 years ago, what it said. Let's take a walk together near the ocean shore, hand in hand, you and I. Let's cherish every moment we have been given, for time is passing by. I often pray before I lay down, by your side. If you receive your calling before I awake, could I make it through the night? Cherish the love we have. We should cherish the life we live. Oh, cherish the love. Cherish the life. Cherish the love. Cherish the love. The world is always changing. Nothing stays the same. But love will stand the test of time. The next life that we live in remains to be seen. Will you be by my side? I often pray before I lay down by your side. And if you receive your calling before I awake, could I make it through the night? Cherish the love we have. We should cherish the life we live. Cherish the love. Cherish the life. Cherish the love. And it goes on to say cherish the love a whole bunch more times. But I thought... You know, that's a love song written by a guy, probably about a girl he knew, or his wife, or whatever. But it really sounds like a love song to God, kind of to me, parts of it, you know. So, you know, like I said, I've been you know, thinking a lot about Clyde, and I've been concerned for Deb. And I read the 91st Psalm the other day, and I'm going to claim that Psalm for them. The 91st Psalm says, "You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night and shut eyes shadow, say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe." That's right, he rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched, watch it all from a distance, watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. That's really all I have for you this morning. Sorry if it's a little bit on the short side, but I'm not going to stand up here and try to find out, figure something else to say to you. I thank God for the words that he gave me. I hope some part of what I had to say this morning spoke to you. I know it spoke to me. I would ask you all to continually lift Clyde and Deb up. We all know how God affirming Clyde has been to all of us in the middle of things, you know, and he spoke life to a lot of us when we needed it, and it's our turn to pay him back a little bit, even if it's from a distance, that's fine, but you know, I ask you just to lift them up. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you that your word always comes true. And it's never false. I thank you that we can trust you like we can trust no other. I ask you to give us the strength to just trust you completely. I ask you to bless my brothers and sisters that are here, Lord. I ask you to continue to move in the situations that everyone in this room has going on in their families and their lives and their loved ones and their friends. You know, I spoke about the one that was close to me this morning. Everyone in here could tell you about someone they love that's struggling. And Lord, I just ask you to just continue to work in those situations. Give us the strength to be there for those that we love. And if you have us play a part in it somehow, Lord, just give us the boldness to do what you tell us to do. And then just stand back and watch what you do, because it'll be you, not us. And I just thank you for this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.